You're listening to Q across Canada on CBC Radio 1, across North America on Sirius XM 169, and from PRX. My name is Tom Power. I never get the people who don't like disco. I mean, I guess it was a thing in the 70s maybe to not like disco, but it always works. It always works. That's a bit of Donna Summer's massive disco hit, Bad Girls. Donna Summer broke new ground in the 1970s with big jams like Love to Love You Baby, I Feel Love, Hot Stuff. And Donna Summer quickly became known as the Queen of Disco. Now, Donna died 10 years ago this month, and in just a minute, you're going to hear from one of her closest collaborators. But first, I want you to hear from Donna herself. This is a little bit of an interview we found about her songwriting process.
Well, some of the things you have written, how do you do it then if you don't sit down at the piano?
Well, a lot of times Giorgio will come up with a melody, or we'll come up with a melody, and I write it together with Pete, usually the lyrics, and, sometimes we change the melody line.
That is the late, great Donna Summer speaking back in 1978. So she says, you know, I write it together with Pete. And Pete is the award-winning producer Pete Bellotti. Pete worked with Donna throughout the 70s and early 80s. They collaborated on many of her biggest records, along with the Giorgio she mentions there, the famous Italian producer Giorgio Moroder. So to mark the anniversary of Donna Summer's death, to remember the Queen of Disco, we actually reached out to Pete Bellotti, to maybe tell you some stories about working with Donna Summer.
This lady is fantastic. A one of a kind. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Donna Summer!
Yeah, she was very funny. Very funny. A great mimic. I was just thinking about Donna's voice suddenly then, because listening to her just then, that's not typical Donna, and it's not untypical Donna. It's just what Donna does. She becomes all these different people. My name's Pete Bellotti. I produced and wrote for Donna Summer during the 1970s and early 80s, and this is my gateway to Donna Summer. Okay. So that would have been in about 72. That was when she was a backing singer in Munich. Munich was, there were quite a few, I always called them hair refugees, who had come out of the musical Hair, because it toured all over Germany. One day I wrote a song called Denver Dream, and I needed someone to sing it for me. There was definitely a lot of choice, but she just stood out by a mile. Oh, she was just had a fantastic voice. I recognized it straight away. It didn't really do much. That's when Giorgio Moroder came in on the writing then, and we wrote a song called The Hostage. He was a hostage! And that went to number one in Holland, which is quite remarkable, really. And the follow-up, that went to number one as well. And then the third song didn't do that well. And that led us finally to Love to Love You Baby. The song came about because around about that time, before this song, Je T'aime had come out. So I don't know if you know that song. Yes, so that was quite an influential song all over Europe. So when the track was put together, Donna went into the vocal booth. She was a great actress with the voice, you know. So for the run through, while we were getting the mic set up, she started doing the moaning and groaning. Just kind of that soft attitude, that sexy voice just came out of her. And of course, said, oh, great, that works. And so she said, oh, all she did ask is to have the lights turned down. And when Love to Love You was finished, it came out in England and didn't do a thing. It was only a year later when Bogart got hold of it. And then he had his famous party, and it all went from there. Neil Bogart started up Casablanca Records.
In the beginning, Casablanca was one small place, but now it's everywhere.
We signed a 3-record deal with him. We were in a studio, and I remember it was a Friday. Bogart phoned from L.A., and said he was having a party at his house. He was playing the single. And he said, the problem is that every time it finishes, everyone shouts out again, 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 because they were all sort of, he described it as getting it on in the room. and it gave him the idea that he wanted a whole side of the album to be that song. And so he then asked that we do that as soon as possible, immediately. Bogart was such a flamboyant man. And if you've seen the album, the reverse is Donna lying in a negligee. So Bogart had a cake maker, a favorite cake maker in San Francisco. And so he had the cake made of the reverse. Then he had it sent down to LA in a first class seat with a minder. Then it had a first class seat all the way to New York, where it was met by an ambulance with a red flashing light, which drove straight round to the disco. And the discos were kind of set alight in New York with that album. You know, having a 17-minute track to play was obviously very unusual.
This Moment of Love was brought to you by Donna Summer on Oasis Records and Tapes from Casablanca.
It's hard to understand. The way we worked, we just recorded and did things. We never sat down and really enthused about things. I know this sounds peculiar. We just, it's like I Feel Love. You know, everyone says, God, it must have been incredible to have known what you'd done then. But we didn't even know it was going to be a single at the time. It was just another song from the album. It came about because of my reading. I've always read a lot. I'd been reading Anthony Powell's Dance to the Music of Time. And the title gave me the idea of going back in time with a song to go all the way through different periods from the 50s up into the future, which was I Feel Love. So when Donna came into the studio, it wasn't written for head voice at all. The demo just had a normal voice on there. But Donna, as always, intuitively, she went straight into head voice. And of course, there was such a juxtaposition suddenly of this machine at the bottom, you know, it's all this low end and this remorseless beat and this flowing, lilting, soft voice above, which I always describe as the heart above the body machine. She was always the same. She She loved to talk, Donna did. That's one of the great things about her. So when whatever the song was, the way she came in was just so she could have a nice long chat and laugh and joke, and then look at her watch, and she'd say, "Okay, let's go." And so she would sing the song in one take. It was always effortless for her, and this is absolutely true. She had the intuitive ability to climb into the skin of any song she recorded. I used to like saying, like an alchemist converting base metals into gold. You know, she was just that talented. And there was never one upset, one argument or anything. It was just a great working relationship. I know it all sounds too good to be true, but I promise you, there was just no friction. We were coming to our end because after Bad Girls, then we had just a couple more albums, and that period was over. I think most success is limited, isn't it? It doesn't always last forever.
Got to interrupt you here. We have some breaking news. I've confirmed that Donna Summer, the queen of disco, has died this morning after fighting a battle with cancer. And AJ, I want to...
My wife, Ellie, came running in and told me. She woke me up and told me, I remember now. It was an absolute shock because I didn't know she was ill. I saw her probably about half a year before she died. We had a dinner in LA, and I didn't know she was ill. Georgia didn't know. No one knew. She kept it absolutely secret. And it was quite poignant, really, because she said to me, just as the evening was ending, "Pete, will you come over and write with me again?" So that was one of the last things she said to me, yeah. I was only there for a short period in her illustrious career, but I just have the utmost respect for her voice and the uncanny naturalness and the one-take wonder that she was. And it sounds like my connection is too close, that I'm saying I think she's one of the greatest singers ever. So let's say. If I think of her, I see her laughing, really, and messing around. So I'll definitely be playing Hot Stuff very loud, remembering her in the studio singing it, and seeing her on stage singing it, yeah, and enjoying it.
Gotta have some hot stuff.
From 1979, that is the queen of disco, Donna Summer, and a jam. Jam of jams. Hot stuff. I don't think I've ever listened to hot stuff from like beginning to end, and it rules. Before that, you heard from Pete Bellotti, the producer and songwriter who worked with Donna Summer on many of her biggest hits, including that one. Pete was remembering his time with the Queen of Disco. This month marks the 10th anniversary of Donna Summer's death.